Together this morning at the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32. We're going to be spending our summer in the Psalms this year. A number of years ago, one of my daughters had a car that ate batteries. Okay? And what I mean by that is about every 6 months, the battery would just be dead. And I kept progressively getting a stronger and stronger and stronger battery, but it didn't matter. Because after about 2 or 3 months, it would start to get a little bit slow. And after about 3 or 4 months, it would be very slow. And about month 5 or 6, it just, you know, you'd go out there and one day you'd hit the key and what would happen? Click, 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 click. So I did everything that I knew. I looked. I went to a mechanic or two and they tried to find it. And finally, one of the guys said to me, he said, look, here's what's going on. He said, what you've got is you've got a small drain here somewhere. You've got a place somewhere in the electrical system where it's just draining the battery, just a trickle at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And so he tried to find it. He couldn't find it. This went on for a couple of years. And so now, by now, I've put in like 3 or 4 or 5 batteries. And it's getting expensive. And I'm like, you know, there's got to be a way to fix this. And so one day I'm driving down the road and I'm passing this old garage and I've had enough. And so I stopped. And I walked inside, and there's this guy sitting at a desk. And he, not being ugly, he's about 197, okay? He'd been around a while. And I looked at him, and I explained the whole thing to him, because I had another battery for my daughter's car in the back seat. And he's like, he looks at me for just a moment, and then he does this. Does your daughter smoke? Now, what kind of question is that? What in the world could that possibly have to do with a dead battery? And I'm like, no, she doesn't smoke. He says, yeah. He says, does she keep change in the ashtray of the car? I don't know, I guess. He's like, well, go out and look. So I go out and I look in and come back. Yeah, she keeps change in the ashtray of the car. He says, here's what I want you to do. He said, go out and look in the ashtray in the car and here's what you're going to find. He said, the cigarette lighter, the little thing that plugs in right in there. He said, you're going to discover that it's not in the hole. And if you look down inside the hole, what you are going to find is there's going to be a penny or a dime inside the hole. I'm like, there is not. He said, go check it. Outside I go. I look inside. There in the ashtrays, all the change. The little cigarette lighter is not in there. And I look down inside and there is a dime. And I reach in there to get it and it's hot. And I go back inside and I say to him, I said, how did you know that was what was going on? He said, now, look, I was probably 55 years old. He looked at me, he went, son, spend 8 hours one day trying to find a trickle charge like that. He said, you'll never forget it. He knew exactly, I mean, he didn't spend 15 seconds thinking about it. He knew exactly what it was. In Psalm 32, David says, that's what unconfessed sin is like in the life of a follower of God. There's this little drain. Sometimes it's imperceptible. Sometimes it's almost unnoticeable. You don't even know that it's there. But over a long period of time, a little bit after a little bit after a little bit trickling away, what happens is your spiritual life is sapped and your vitality is taken away one little bit until your spiritual life is destroyed. David says that in Psalm 32 and verse 4. Notice what he says. He said, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Now look, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. If you go back and you look at that word, literally what it means is the moisture that I had was being taken away, was turned into drought. I was thinking about that as I looked at the sod. Anybody see the sod out front? You know, where we did some work on the ground, and we timed it just perfectly to put that new sod in the day before the 102 or 4 or 5 degree days hit. We put it in there, and that little strip out there looks pretty much like what we see up there on the screen. And I tell you, they're watering it. Jimmy White is watering that thing 2 or 3 times a day. The guys who come in to cut the grass, they're watering it for everything that they're worth. But the moisture is turned into drought. And David says, listen, that's what happens in the spiritual life of people who know Jesus, love Jesus, and are walking with Him when there is unconfessed sin. But this psalm says to us it doesn't have to be that way. There is an alternative. There have been people who have walked this path before, like that mechanic sitting there at the desk. They've been there before. They've been down that path. They know that there is a better alternative. There's a better way of dealing with it. And that's what David is talking to us about here in this passage of Scripture. So turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm 32. And a couple of different things I want you to notice here this morning. Number one, we need to remember the blessing of forgiveness. David starts out this passage on sin and forgiveness with encouragement. He starts out by giving us this vision of what can be better. It's kind of like what he did last week in the other psalm that we looked at. We always start with the problem, right? We start with the issue. We start with the struggle. We start with the trials that we want to work with and the things that we have to work through. And David says, no, before you go there, put a vision out there. Put a positive future out there that you can see so that you know what you're moving toward. He says, look at that instead. He starts off with encouragement. He lets us know where we want to end up before we ever get started. His goal is to give us a vision for the better future. Yes, we sin. Yes, we fall. Yes, we do the wrong thing. But we don't have to live in that. We don't have to stay in that. There's a better way to go. Notice what he says, blessed is the word that he starts out with. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of peace. It's a word of happiness. He says, listen, yes, there's sin, but there's something good out there for you. There, you can be blessed. And he tells us how that happens. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. You know what the word means? It means those who rebel against God when their sin is lifted up and carried away. If you go back and you read in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in the old system of worship, there was what they called a Day of Atonement. Anybody remember that one? Go back into Leviticus and some of those passages back there, the ones that you fall asleep in whenever you're trying to read your way through the Bible. More people's journey through the Bible in a year has died in Leviticus than any other book in the Bible. I mean, all the animals die, all the sacrifices take place, we die there too. It's like, man, Leviticus is tough to read. Well, there's this beautiful passage in there where there's something called a scapegoat. And it's a visual picture of what David is talking about here. Once a year, the nation of Israel, they would pick this poor goat. They would bring him in, and the priest would symbolically place the sins of the people upon the goat. And then he would be released into the wilderness. And it's this picture, it's this visualization of exactly what David is talking about. Our rebellion or our sin is carried away. As far, the Bible says, as the east is from the west. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered up. The word for sin means to miss the mark, to aim at something, and you don't hit the bullseye. And sometimes you just entirely miss the goal altogether. And David says, listen, you're blessed when your transgressions are carried away and when your sin is covered up. Again, it's a picture from the Old Testament. When the animals were sacrificed, the blood was taken and it was sprinkled to cover the sins of the people. When we get to the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says, listen, the blood of bulls and goats is never going to cover up our sin. It was always just to remind us and give us a visual picture of what Jesus was ultimately going to do for us. He says, blessed is he whose sin is not counted against them. God is not up in heaven with a big ledger. The job of the angels is not to follow you around and go, yeah, Jeff, another one there. Yeah, another one there. I was standing in line at the pharmacy this past week, and the guy behind me, he got a little hostile. I remember I told you that there were a lot of things. The people didn't have enough folks and behind the counter, and there was not enough help. And so there were like six people in line. I was number four. He was number five. And he got a little bit irritated, and he started yakking. And I realized after him, at first I was irritated that he was doing it, and then I realized he was just saying what I was thinking. We weren't any better. I was just hiding mine a little bit better. You know, I was thinking the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, tell him. Blessed is he whose sin is not counted against them. There's not an angel up there in heaven go, there goes Gray again. Man, when is that guy ever going to learn how to get it right? He said, in him there is no guile. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no guile. My spirit wasn't any different than his. My mouth was, but my spirit wasn't. I was just covering it up. The word means no falseness, no treachery, no deceit. Blessed is he who doesn't lie to himself or to others or to God. Is one of the ways that you might translate that. See, David starts off this psalm on finding forgiveness by telling us how we can live if we truly want to have the blessing of forgiveness. If we truly want our sin to be carried away, our sin to be covered over. If we want to not have it all counted against us. If we don't have to walk around day after day after day just hiding it on the inside because we don't want anyone to see it. It's possible to be human, to live with all of our faults, with all of our sin, with all of our shortcomings, and still be blessed by God if we do it the right way. And that's what the next couple of verses talk about. It talks about the burden of sin and how we need to choose the right path. When I kept silent, verse 3, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the day. He begins with this blessing of forgiveness. And then he moves on from that to understanding the burden of sin. What happens? What happens when we don't let our sin be carried away? What happens when it's not covered over by the blood of Jesus? What happens when I hold it on the inside? And I act like it's okay, but I know truly that it's not. Because my heart hasn't changed one single bit. When there's unconfessed sin in our life, it drains us spiritually. We don't even know it. It's like that battery that I was talking about. It's imperceptible sometimes, but it's always present. It's always there. It's always empty in us until one day we wake up and we spiritually turn the key and we hear click, 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 because there's not enough spiritual vitality. There's not enough spiritual life left. It's been slowly drained away one little bit at a time. There's been this ongoing deterioration from the inside out. David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Literally, my bones got old and brittle. They were worn out and they were decaying. They were wasting away on the inside. One little bit of vitality at a time. He said, through my groaning all day long. Cries of anguish and distress, the word means. I was at the trainer on Friday. And I had missed Tuesday because I had an emergency in the morning. And so it's always bad. It's always bad. It's always bad. No, but at the best of days, it's bad. Okay, just so you know, for those of you who like to go, God bless you. That is not a burden that I carry. I don't like to go. And every time I look at her, I'm like, you know what? I don't like being here. And she's like, you don't have to come here. She said, you can just go back to the hospital if you want. Thanks. A little reminder there. So on the way out on Friday, she looked at me. She said, you had a good workout. And I'm like, no, not really. I said, I had 15 minutes of workout and 15 minutes of wine. You know, because that's what I do. I spend more time with groans of anguish and distress than I do actually doing anything. You know, I spend a lot of time whining about it along the way. Cries of anguish and distress. He said, that's what it's like when I walk around with this unconfessed sin in my life. Your hand is heavy upon me. There's this burdensome weight. There's this heaviness of affliction. You ever been in that place where you're sore, like maybe like when you have the flu or something like that, and it hurts to even be touched? Even you know, it's just like, ow, it hurts, stop it. It's like when you get sunburned. That's the word that he's talking about here. He said, your hand was heavy upon me. It was painful. to think about you, God, because I know that I'm not living in a way that's pleasing to you. He said, my strength is sapped, like that battery on the car, weaker and weaker and weaker. David tells us that that's what it's like to try and live life carrying the weight of sin. When we walk around knowing that there is something in our life that is not pleasing to the Father and we're not yet willing to release it, we're not yet willing to let it go, he says that's what it's doing. It's quietly deteriorating your spiritual life. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. And I was groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. It hurt every time you touched me. My strength was being sapped, just like the summer sun. And he says, there is a better way. You don't have to live in that. There's a better way of living. Then, look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Every once in a while, the alliteration comes out of me, and I can't help myself. I am a preacher, so I had to have another B, and I found one. Accept the balm of honesty and confession. You know what balm is? You know, I called, or Pastor Oren called me this morning, and I'm like, how's it going? He's like, yeah, well, it's been an interesting couple of days. You know, he's got the students with him on a mission trip. They're in Miami. He's like, do you know what sea lice is? I'm like, dude, I grew up in Florida. I've never heard of sea lice. Does anybody know what sea lice is? Evidently, they're extremely painful. And evidently, a couple of our kids discovered what sea lice are. And he's like, you know, I think I actually got online because I'd never heard of them. And I looked them up. And it's like they're the larvae of jellyfish. Ouch! Yeah, that just doesn't even... They've got a ring right around the waistline. And I've never heard of such a thing. And I said, well, what do you do for sea lice? He's like, well, you just put like calamine or something on it, you know. Balm. That's what a balm is. It's something that... It's like a steroid cream that you put on poison ivy. Think of aloe, which I think is the cure of everything. Aloe, when you rub it on a sunburn, you know how that just begins to soothe, to make it better, and there's the beginning of this healing process? That's what David is talking about here. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. He says, I acknowledged it. It means to see something and recognize it for what it truly is. See, I will come up with almost any other word that I can to try and keep from saying, I have sinned. I don't like that word. Don't like it. It's okay to say I've made a mistake. It's okay to say I tripped up a little bit. It's okay to say I was confused. It's okay to say, you know, I did something that I shouldn't have done. It's okay. And I can find 1,000 different synonyms. Okay? But really what I need to do is I need to acknowledge my sin. I need to look at it and go, this is what I have done. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a miscalculation. I actually got online. I was looking for some of the great excuses, you know, from some of the football NFL kickers for why they missed the field goal. Go check it out. There's some amazing ones out there. The guy didn't cut the grass in the right direction. Yeah. There's one of them, a really famous one, when he kicked it and it was right on target and it just came short. And somebody asked him, they said, what would you do different? And he's like, I would kick it harder. What can you say? You got to kick it harder, go further. I acknowledge my sin. I don't cover it up. It means to conceal something. This is a great word. It's a word to talk about what I do sometimes whenever I put my shirt in and then I look in the mirror and I take my shirt out and go, I think I'll wear this one out today. Right? It means to conceal by puffing up. You know? To puff up your clothes and to go, that doesn't look so bad. I didn't lose a single ounce. I didn't get a bit smaller. I just covered it up by puffing up the clothes. That's exactly what he says. I'm not going to conceal my sin anymore. I'm not going to cover it up. He said, I'm going to confess it to God. Beautiful words. He said, I'm going to lift it up to you. You know, there's a lot of things that I want to do with my sin, but lifting it up so that God can see it clearly is not one of them. Don't want to do that with my sin. I want to hide it. I want to cover it up. I want to excuse it. But you know, it's beautiful when you look at the way this is put together. It says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I will lift them up. And then you will forgive the guilt of my sin. The word for forgive means to come in and to take something, to lift it up and carry it away. So here's the mental picture that David is drawing for us. Whenever I sin, instead of hiding it and concealing it and covering it up, what I do is I lift it up to Him. The last thing I want to do, I lift it up to Him. And when I do that, He comes in and He takes it and He carries it away. The words that David used here are extremely descriptive of the work of God in our life. David says, when I did those things, you forgave me. You poured the healing balm of forgiveness on my bones, on my heart, and on my spirit. You brought me soothing peace and grace. You caused me to experience the joy of your salvation and forgiveness. We talked about this last night at Still Waters. We talked about that passage in the 23rd Psalm where it says, He restores my soul. It's a spiritual work of grace, this restoration thing. And one of the things that we said last night was that when there's a spiritual problem, there's only one kind of solution that we're ever going to find. We have to have a spiritual solution. We talked about that restoration being a renewing of vitality sometimes. And that's exactly what David is saying here. He begins to talk to us in verse 6 and following about the result of us lifting our sin up to God and finding that forgiveness. Therefore, verse 6, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle. They will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. You see, what David says is, listen, you can be encouraged by the promise of God. If you respond to sin in the right way, there is an encouragement. There is a healing that comes there. When you confess it to Him, you don't try and hide it. You don't try and cover it over. He does a work of grace in us and He forgives us. Look at these things that He says He will do. He will be near. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Psalm 145. That's what David says. He says, let everyone who is godly pray while you may be found. God is in the process of working in our life when we make ourselves available to Him. He says in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. When we lift our sin up to Him, when we're honest about it, when there's no deceit, when there's no guile, when we're not trying to cover it up, then God speaks into that and He works in that honesty and openness. He protects us from trouble. It means to stand guard, to preserve something, to protect. Whatever comes my way, David says, you're going to speak words of protection over me. Look at what he says. You will be my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. David just said this to us. He just said, listen, when I am honest about my sin and I lift it up to God, He speaks to that. Songs of deliverance. Think about it. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who spoke everything that we see into existence looks at our life when we are honest about our sin, and He says, leave her alone. You are forgiven. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. He will speak songs of deliverance into our life. He will protect us from trouble. Notice he didn't say that trouble is not going to come. He didn't say that it won't be there. And Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He doesn't say we won't have trouble. He says that he will carry us through the trouble to the other side. And he will teach us the right way forward. He uses a couple of different illustrations here. He says he will instruct us. It means to direct you to be smart and have success. When you listen to God, he makes you smarter than you are. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. I need to get a little bit smarter about some things. He says, I will instruct you. The word means to make you more smart, to make you have success. He says, I will teach you. It means to put you on the right path, to guide you in the right way. It's exactly what's happening in Thailand. As those divers take those young boys who don't know the way, and they're guiding them through the water. They're showing them the right path. I will counsel you. I will advise you and guide you. The word means I will look out over you and see what is going on, and I will show you the right direction. I will chart a path for you. Because, see, he can see the future. He knows the direction that we should take. And then I love the last thing that he says down here. Many are the woes of the wicked. But listen, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. There is nothing that comes in your life but that it first passes through His loving hands. It may not feel that way. You may not understand what He is doing. You may not like what He is doing. But at the end of the day, the Lord's love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. If it is there, He has allowed it there for a reason. Before you ever experience it, it first passes through the filter of His love. And when He allows it for a reason. He makes it better. He makes you stronger. He makes you more like His Son. David says to us in this psalm that we have a choice to make. How are we going to deal with the sin in our life? It's not a question of whether or not we sin, because we all do. The question is, how am I going to respond to this sin? It takes me all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You remember the story, Adam and Eve placed in the garden in this beautiful, beautiful environment. And God says, listen, everything is in here for you. It's all for you. There's only one thing that I want you to leave alone. Leave that tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. Don't mess with that one. He no sooner turned his back and walked away. They were right on it. And then after they had eaten, it's an interesting passage. After they had eaten, they heard, Scripture says, the voice of the Lord as He came in the evening to walk in the cool of the garden with them. As He came to be in relationship with them, they said, we heard your voice coming, and so we ran and what? Remember? We hid. Now, kind of silly to think you're going to hide from God, right? Like, oh, where are they at? I don't know. I've lost them. No. They're hiding over in the... He knew where they were at the whole time. Okay? They were the only ones who thought that they were hiding. But you see, there's a choice that we have to make. What am I going to do with my sin? What am I going to do? Am I going to hide it? The only one that I'm deceiving is me. Maybe you, but not usually you either. Particularly those who are closest to us, they know. They know. Certainly not God. Am I going to hide it? Or am I going to hold it up to Him? David said, listen, there is a way of living that makes you blessed. When your transgressions are forgiven, your sin is covered up, the Lord is not counting against you the things that you have done, and in whose spirit there's no deceit. You're not lying to yourself. You're not lying to others. You're not lying to God. You keep silent. My bones waste away. I groan day and night. Your hand is heavy on me. And my strength is being sapped. One little bit at a time. But when I acknowledge my sin, I quit trying to hide it. I don't cover it up. When I confess it, when I hold it up to you, then Lord, you come in and you take it away. So here's the choice that we all make. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For me, the issue is not whether or not I have sinned this week. I don't have to worry about keeping count. There's every day, every hour, sometimes every minute, there's something in my life. You may not see it. I may look like I'm standing there nicely and politely in line, and the guy behind me is the jerk. But my heart is just as much of a jerk as his. Right? I just don't show it. I'm just hiding it a little bit better. But God sees it. And so if I hold it up to Him and let Him have it and confess it, then He comes in and He takes it away. That's what communion is all about. It gives us the opportunity to check our heart and see what is going on there on the inside. Paul said it this way. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And then He says this, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." So in this next few moments, I'm going to ask you to sit quietly before the Lord and examine, to look inside. And find those things from your week, like I found some of those things from my week, and lift them up to Him. And allow Him to come in and carry them away. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank You for today, for the opportunity that we have to read the words of David and hear him encourage us and admonish us and instruct us on how to be blessed. Lord, we don't need any help on how to sin. We seem to have a lock on that. We get there without even trying. We get there when we're trying not to. And yet, Your Word teaches us that when we trust in You, when we, instead of hiding, lift up to You the things that we have done that are wrong, when we lift up to You our sin, You cover it with Your Son's blood. You lift it up and carry it away. So here in this next few moments, Lord, I pray that we'll take the opportunity to look within and instead of hiding, hold up to You the things that need to be forgiven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing this morning? And this morning we would invite you to the Lord's table. We would invite you to one of the two stations that you will see on either side. Take the opportunity before you come to the table to simply examine your heart, to look within. And when you are ready, simply go to the table, take the elements. You don't need to wait for me to say, take the bread, take the juice, when you get back to your seat, or on your way if you choose. Take the opportunity to take those elements. Maybe you might want to make a stop here on the way at the altar and say, Lord, there's some things that I want to lift up to you. Perhaps this morning, you want to do what David said and visualize and maybe even just lift your sin up. You know what? There's not a single person in the room, I promise you, including the guy preaching and the guy playing the piano. There's not a single guy, single woman in the room that has not sinned this week. That's one thing we have in common. The issue is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to hide it? Or are we going to hold it up to Him? You come to the table as you feel led.